This is the Trenches Technology Podcast with your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. On this episode of the podcast, my guest is Jason LaValle, founder and president of LaValle Industries. Our August cover story featured his Minnesota-based company and its game-changing pipe handling tool, the Deckhand. Jason has a pretty deep history in the HDD industry, starting out as a human deckhand on an HDD crew. In the episode, we're diving deep on how Jason created his revolutionary tool, used in both the HDD and pipeline markets, from his early days working out of his garage to bring it to market, and the challenges he faced along the way. We also talk about where his entrepreneurial spirit comes from, as well as tapping into Jason's after-hours passion, race car driving, a pretty cool hobby he shares with his entire family. Such a cool story. I had a great time talking with Jason and came away with this observation. He talks as passionately and as enthusiastically about HDD as he does about racing and his family. I also learned that Jason and I have a football rivalry connection, as he played some college ball at North Dakota State, and I'm a proud alumni of Youngstown State. Go Penguins. Here's my conversation with Jason LaValle. Well, hey, Jason, well, I want to welcome you to the Trenches Technology Podcast. I'm so glad you can join us for the episode.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, let's get started. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what LaValle Industry does?
Okay. Jason LaValle. I'm a small town boy from a little town called Bemidji, Minnesota. Actually, I was born and raised in a little town, littler town called Northome, about 100 people. Raised in a town called Bemidji. It's north central Minnesota. It's actually the highest point of the Mississippi, if you want to reference, the first city on the Mississippi River. And I grew up here, was interested in football and different things. And I actually went to college at North Dakota State University for a year, played a little football and got involved in other things that really got me away from the whole schooling thing. And I wanted to get more involved in the construction industry. And my cousin actually, who worked for Southeast Directional Drilling at the time, Ozzy's, that's called Ozzy's back then, Ozzy's Directional Drilling.
Right.
Had thrown my name in the hat. He asked, met at a family reunion, and Craig Larson, and he threw my name in the hat and got me a job working for Ozzy's Directional Drilling right out of basically high school. I only had a year in college. So I went on the road, moved down to Phoenix, Arizona, and got involved in the horizontal directional drilling business.
Talk a little bit about what LaValle Industries does.
LaValle Industries is a development manufacturing company of, we call them material handling products, attachments for the pipeline and horizontal directional drilling industries. And we specialize in that market. We've developed into others like utility and mining and whatnot, but it really revolves around building safe products for handling materials, and really started from the garage built idea.
I find it interesting you went to North Dakota State University, because I went to Youngstown State University.
Okay.
So we play you guys a lot in football.
Yeah.
Yep. And you beat us a lot in football.
Strong tradition there in football for North Dakota State, also there in Youngstown, and also with the Sioux, right?
Yep. So maybe you can share a little bit about how you came up with the idea for the deckhand. It was an interesting story behind that.
Yeah. So really, I was worked from the boots on the ground, starting really with the shovel in the horizontal directional drilling business. So I was often called as a position the deckhand on the job site. I handled a lot of the materials of and pipe, reamers, adapters, to and fro the drill rig. We're talking the big drill rigs, right? The maxi rigs. Mm-hmm. I was actually working for Michaels Corporation at the time down in Corsicana, Texas. And we were working 24 hours a day. And oftentimes in the horizontal drilling and pipeline business, you're working 24 hours a day and you're working 7 days a week, and it's grueling and it's rainy sometimes, and you just kind of work through it all. And a lot of accidents I had seen around the job sites, not in particular, you know, with Michaels, but across the industry, I'd seen while handling pipes. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the mainline pipes with the directional drilling pipes. One night in Texas, rainy night, I had an incident on our job site where a pipe pile our stack pile had collapsed on one of the employees, a friend of mine, and had injured his leg, where we had to take the point where we had to take him to the hospital, and he had compound fractures in his leg. It was that night I'd taken the position of the operator that was operating the excavator, was on site, because I had asked him to take that person into the hospital. And as we continued to work, I was sitting there in the excavator and I was thinking to myself, why the heck are we still using these straps and slings and this old dinosaur type technology to handle these pipes? Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there thinking back to my roots back in Bemidji, Minnesota, the loggers using all this sophisticated logging equipment, mm-hmm. and, you know, cutting the trees down where they're cutting the trees down, delimbing them, cutting the bolts off to length and loading them on the trucks. And they were able to count how many and how long and everything else. And yet on the job sites of the oil and gas industry, of the HDD, we're using straps and chains. It was really that night I thought, why don't we make an attachment for these excavators to handle this pipes more sophisticatedly and most of all safely? And that's kind of where it started.
And you went back to the hotel, you said, and you kind of sketched it out on a napkin.
Exactly right. Real primitive. And I sketched it out on napkin, and that later I transferred that to a piece of paper. And then I had faxed that to my dad and asked him what he thought of it. And my dad, being a logger, an old logger from northern Minnesota, he got it. But at first he was like, you know, what is it? Because it was kind of a chicken scratch kind of design. But he got it, and he understood. And I said, well, Dad, what do you think about this? I mean, it's apparent to me that this is needed in the industry. I'm looking for ways to be more involved with my family, because I've been working on the road for several years, mm-hmm. now. And, you know, is this something you think we could build in our garage? And so that's kind, mm-hmm. of, you know, with discussions of my, you know, obviously my wife and family, we decided, mm-hmm. to begin building this device in our garage back home in Bemidji.
What year was that about? That was 2005?
That was 2005, yeah.
I mean, like you were saying, it seems like such a no-brainer idea. You equated it to the logging industry, the lumber industry, how they use tools similar to that. It seems like a no-brainer and a safety game-changing kind of idea. I mean, you kind of said it to yourself, why wasn't this created before? I mean, it just seems like an obvious solution to that kind of serious situation to be in.
It certainly does. And I asked around, I thought about my position at, you know, with one of the most sophisticated companies in the world at the time. And I just wasn't seeing that type of technology. And I asked around, and I wasn't hearing about it. And I actually called some friends in the industry and in pipeline and in HDD, and there wasn't anything out there. I thought that was strange myself. So no, you're right. But more and more, as I develop new products, I'm finding the same thing. So it's it happens all the time.
After you said your dad and your grandfather jumped on board almost immediately in the early days of its development, after they figured out what your sketch was, because apparently you're not
an artist. No.
But after that, you told them what the idea was. Talk a little bit about what their involvement was early on. What did they provide for you? I mean, you said you were on the road a lot during your quote unquote day job while this was going on. What were they able to do?
Yeah. So for me, what we kind of established was we were going to use my garage as a place to develop this product, build this product, manufacture it. My dad was going to work as kind of the procurement manager and resource man to get everything we need and keep track of all of our documentation, receipts and whatnot. I solely funded it out of my life savings, me and my wife. And we had hired actually my grandfather. He worked for General Motors as a welder early on and was involved in logging as well as my dad. My dad was actually a lumber broker at the time, so still involved in the lumber industry. And my grandfather was retired and he had time. And my dad had just recently had neck surgery, had 12 or 13 neck and back surgeries, degenerative back disease. So his efforts as it related physically were limited, but he was able to help my grandfather, mm-hmm. on the nights, days and nights gathering supplies. And what I would do is come home every couple of months for the weekend. We'd touch base, build more cardboard cutouts, new different designs to continue the development, talk about new different suppliers and types of products we could integrate into the tool, and I'd fly away and they'd continue working. So we did that for a couple of years.
Wow. We were doing the story for on La Valley for the cover. You talked a lot about your family's historically, your family has had an entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah.
Growing up, talk a little bit about that and how that impacted the process you were going through.
Yeah, really. I think it's one of the secrets, spices and seasonings of La Valley Industries, right? It's something that I developed early on. My mom and dad were no stranger to trying new things and new businesses. We spoke about them being involved in the lumber industry. My mom and dad early on. My dad was a Greyhound bus driver. My dad was a machinist. My mom and dad owned a business. They owned milk delivery business, wholesale and retail. They owned a restaurant. They owned a limousine service. They owned a gas station. And not all the businesses were successful. Some didn't make it and failed, but they moved on. They weren't afraid to move on and try the next thing. Or I should say, when I was looking for something to get closer to home, to work more closely with my family with, that I was lacking in my life, and I was developing a family of my own with my children. I was missing on that childhood time with my family. I was thinking of what things I could do to bring us closer together. When I had come up with this idea and floated it past my wife and my father and mother about developing this type of product, it was a no-brainer. We were ready. It was a no-brainer. We were going to do it. We were going to move forward. We were going to go full speed ahead. So I think the hard part of that process was I had such a good job as a superintendent at the time. I was doing really well. I had, you know, a life savings I was investing into. It was taking that risk. And I think that was the hardest part for me. I don't think I was scared about the opportunity, about the development of the design. It was leaving such a secure job to do so, going all in, right?
Right.
And that's what it was going to take. I knew that that's what it was going to take. It was going to take going all in.
Talk a little bit about the road it took to get the deckhand to market. I mean, what was that like? I mean, I'm sure there was the challenges along the way. Like you said, you invested your life savings in this product that you believed in. Just what were some of the challenges getting it to market?
One of the biggest challenges for me early on in the development was we didn't have any company history.
Right.
So working with suppliers, lenders, banks, no company history was a major issue. We paid a lot. We paid cash for our supplies and in the development of our business. As it related to finances, we went to nearly every bank in the region. And even though we had paid cash for everything and at the end of the day had a paid for prototype that had been developing rent, we were renting this product. We were collecting revenue off. It wasn't very much, but we were collecting revenue. Nobody wanted to take a risk on us. And that was difficult. We're from Northern Minnesota. We're a logging industry. No one really knew too much about oil and gas. Wasn't really involved in oil and gas. So it was maybe too high of a risk for them, just purely because it was an unknown.
Right.
Perhaps that was the initial big problem we had.
That was about what, 2007, I want to say?
Yep, 2007. Yep.
Okay. What was the, when you finally, I know you had some pilot projects out there early on. What was the industry reaction to the deckhand? I mean, I know, were they supportive of it? I get that people would be, with anything brand new, revolutionary idea, there's some skepticism. They kind of hang back to see how it's going to play out.
Yeah,
but what was the initial reaction to it?
I had some credibility as it related to me being involved in the in the industry, which was very helpful. It got my foot in the door. But getting contractors to change the way they do things, you had to hit a home run right out of the door. Mm-hmm. If you brought your equipment on site, if you could convince a contractor to allow you to come on site and demonstrate the product with them, you had to hit a home run. Otherwise, they weren't going to make the change. Very traditional in their ways, very second and third generation. If it ain't broke, don't fix it type of mentality. I think that's a lot of the reason why our industry is kind of held back a little bit, why it isn't getting involved in new technologies as much. But we're hoping to change that, and we have been changing that mentality. Mm-hmm. And this was a good pilot. This was the pilot of that for us. Yeah, the projects that we started out early on was difficult, mainly because the market narrowed for us in 2008. was a disastrous year for the oil and gas industry. It was for every industry. It was quite a recession, right? Yes, we developed the product initially for HDD, but we had to be able to diversify very, very quickly because that market narrowed so fast in 2008. So luckily, we had kind of designed our product to handle the capacity of the prime mover, the excavator, and we quickly shifted our product to be able to handle all types of pipe and sizes. So not just HDD drill pipe, but mainline pipe, and really coincidentally, big pipeline coming through our area. There was a 36-inch and a 20-inch pipeline coming right through Bemidji, the Northern Lights project. We were able to jump on board with that and meet with the contractors and get involved with our product, which was pivotal for us.
I had a question a little further down talking about your introduction to the pipeline industry and how it came through, like you said, Bemidji, and it kind of was very time appropriate for you.
Yeah,
the timing couldn't have been better for you guys, given the time going on, the recession going on in the country as such. How important a tool is that for the pipeline industry?
Like I said, they primarily handled the pipes with pipe layers, and it was very labor intensive, or cranes, especially in the winter. And we were fortunate enough to get involved with, at the time it was US Pipeline, Greg Kern and Kevin Hutcherson, vice president, I believe, or whatnot of US Pipeline. And we had visited there, and one of the red bosses had allowed us the opportunity to get into the stockyard and handling the pipes. And it just so happened over one of the coldest, biggest blizzards we had in the middle of December in a little town near Grand Rapids here, Grand Rapids, Minnesota. We had like a foot of snow, and it was 20 below, and it was over Christmas break. And the spread boss said, you know what, go ahead and use the excavator. It's there for your use. Go ahead and demo try the product out, take any videos you want, you know, but when vacation's over and we come back to work, I want you to take it off. I said, well, okay, that's not exactly what I wanted, but we were trying to break into this pipeline part of the industry, the pipe laying, the stockpile stuff, and, you know, diversify a bit. I'll take what I can get. And so we did exactly that. We moved down to the site, me and my dad. We had put the attachment on the excavator, and we were handling pipe, moving it around and loading. We're not loading a truck, but just kind of redistributing the stockpile with a foot of snow on it. We had sent this video to the superintendents and to Kevin Hutcherson at the time. And he said, hey, hold on. Don't take it off quite yet. Right. Wait till we get back. So really that was our big shot, I think, into the pipeline industry. Everybody came back to work. Trucks were pulling up and beginning to load to bring pipe out to the right of way. On one side, we had the vacuum machine. On the other side, we had the deckhand and myself, the very first time. And we were outperforming the competition 3-1 because they couldn't at first even get the machines, the equipment started, because the vacuums had their very own power unit to start. You know, you had to start the thing, right? And they didn't want to start. And then the pipes were covered with snow, so they had to use a loader to take the pipes off the stockpile, set them on the ground, and then they had to have the labor force come out with brooms and shovel off all the snow and ice off the pipes. And then they would have to load the pipes onto the using the vacuum, but even still at 20 below, the filters and whatnot would freeze, and they couldn't either pick up the pipe or they couldn't get it off. They couldn't get the vacuum off. Every day I just kept loading pipes. The very first day, however, I loaded about 3 or 4 trucks and they took off, and I was waiting to continue load more trucks. And the foreman pulled up after a while and he said, hey, come back tomorrow. We got a little problem we got to address. He says, we were able to load the trucks here, yes, and we love it, but we can't unload them because we're using a vacuum on the other side. So we got to figure out something different here. But that was really the beginning of us working in that transition, diversification into the pipeline side of things.
You had some key people in your corner in the early days, such as George Prince and Craig Larson, who you've mentioned previously. Yeah. Talk about their contributions and their impact on the company.
Yeah, so when I was starting the company, it was mostly family involvement. I had aunts and uncles and everything move in really to help me develop the very first machines, production machines. Really did me a huge favor and helped me start my company. But moving on and starting to get into the production side of things, I needed a business plan. I needed big financing to invest in inventory and further development. Those were parts of the company that I didn't have a lot of expertise in, the administrative side, so to speak, right? My dad, mom and dad and I were involved in small businesses to this point where we didn't have a lot of personnel. And we were talking about supply chains of 30, 40 different suppliers, hundreds of parts and pieces to manage, and multiple customers that weren't in Bemidji. They were all over the world. My relationship with George Prince, who just happens to be the mayor now of Bemidji, was that he was in small business development with a small business development group called the SBDC, and locally, and he had helped me kind of develop that business plan initially and help get the financing needed to move forward. Yet not a partner of La Valle Industries, but I recognized the knowledge that he had, and also his history as I got to work with him. I had found out that he had been involved in other startups with small businesses and grown to very large businesses. So he had that entrepreneurial background with him and working with that type of business. And then of course, Craig Larson, who 25 plus years in the HDD business, really worked through the pioneering stages of the horizontal drilling industry, who got me into the horizontal drilling business myself. Obviously, there's a lot of history there with him and know-how and knowledge of how not only the HDD business is ran, but also a lot about pipeline as well. Early on, my involvement with George was, you know, getting to know him and him starting through the state funded programs to help us develop the business plan and financial plan to start our business. I knew that was if it wasn't George, it was that partnership I needed to have with someone, the relationship that experience I didn't have. I needed to have that partnership in my business somewhere. So early on, I met with George and sought out that expertise, and I was lucky enough to get him to join as a partner of La Valle Industries early on. Craig was a little more difficult to get on board. He was my cousin. He really enjoyed the product. He was looking forward to the product in the industry. But at the very initial stages of the business, it was more HDD. And of course, you know, about 2008, it was very slow. And it was a narrow market at that time. But over time, once we developed into working with the larger diameters of pipes and different materials, then he began to see that, hey, there's more opportunities here, and it's also going to allow me to get home and spend more time with my family and work with our community here in northern Minnesota. But Craig was great early on, bouncing ideas off of and also with communications and contacts in our industry. And then when I was able to talk and convince Craig to come on board, of course, that was awesome. That was great. It's always great to have that type of experience, but also as a family member working with you in the company.
In our conversations for the cover story, when I talked to all three of you, George, Craig, and yourself, the word innovation came up a lot.
Yeah.
In the company's approach to innovation. Can you explain a little bit about what your company's approach is?
I'm kind of a space cadet. As if you get to know me, I'm all over the place, and I'm full of ideas, and that's really kind of the spirit behind the company. And as we've grown, we've allowed our not only myself but people that work for us to go ahead and explore those ideas they might have. No idea is a bad idea, and so that's really part of our culture here at La Valle Industries. And it's really George's idea, or the financial background and roots that he has, that really puts the borders up for us, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. We only have this much money or this much time to work with. So we got to sculpt and shape our ideas to be able to fit our financial boundaries, so to speak. And that's been a really key part of our relationship there as well with George and his side, the finance side, administrative side of our business.
I mean, you guys have grown so much since the beginning, from 2005 to 2021. I mean, now you're situated, you have 90 acres your company is on. You have a 45,000 square foot facility, manufacturing office facility, other, I don't want to call them spinoff companies, but you've also created some other businesses through the success of La Valle Industries. Do you ever kind of just sit back and kind of marvel about how much the company has grown during that time versus how you started, and say, wow, I can't believe where we're at?
It happens all the time. Oftentimes we'll be walking through the shop in the evening, last one to leave or first one there, or even during the middle of the day, and look around and go, holy smokes. right? Or just at a product and go, how did we ever get to here? And wow. And I'm really grateful that for what we have. It's amazing that we started out of a garage and gotten to this point. We're truly blessed. I'm humbled by the experience, really, honestly. I really am.
I mean, also your family gets, like you said, your father got to enjoy watching this company grow as well from your, I want to say your, I don't know how to describe your sketch.
Yeah.
From your first sketch to where you are now, your father got to, from being involved early on, he got to enjoy watching the company grow.
Yeah, well, certainly my dad, my parents are super proud of us and myself. You know, I think back to some of the hardships that we had and he's had and mom, you know, in their businesses and we've had in ours that never, you know, they've never gave up. And we never gave up either when times were tough. It wasn't an easy start. It was very tough. You know, I have a lot of gratitude to give back to them.
With your background in directional drilling, you know, HDD turned 50 this year in 2021. Given your background, what are your thoughts on the industry's anniversary? And can you kind of maybe describe the state of the industry from your chair?
I'm optimistic about it. There's been a lot of changes in the industry with along with direct pipe coming into it, direct pipe technology. I think there's probably more to that to come. I think there's always going to be a place for the traditional HDD product or industry. I think there's a lot of opportunities yet there for us as things have been changing, getting bigger, more horsepower, bigger pipelines, longer drills. Mm-hmm. There are some new products that are moving into these spaces to fill the gaps and holes. We began to try to address them with some electrification technology that we've been getting involved in, and pump technology. We're finding some new ways to address these open holes and the movement there of the expansion of our industry. I don't know. I think even though right now we're seeing a decline with the pipeline industry, it's kind of slowed. We've seen the resilience of the horizontal directional drilling industry and that it's more than just an oil and gas type of an industry. It's a utilities industry. Mm-hmm. It's a mining industry. It's a little more resilient than the pipeline oil and gas industry, I think. And there provides opportunity. I've often found when things slow down on the pipeline, mainline pipeline, things are still moving. People are still busy. People are still finding opportunities in HDD. And I think that'll always be there.
And recently got the good news regarding like PG&E's decision to start in California, putting all those electric lines underground. Yeah. That's great news for the directional drilling industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's great news. And we're involved in a couple of different fronts there with the utilities side. So it's great for La Valle Industries. It really is.
Now, this is completely off topic before I let you go, but I read that you have a passion for race car driving. Yeah. And specifically, like I said, specifically race cars. Now, this is not something that I follow necessarily. I know very little about race car driving. But how did that come about? What's something you followed your entire life?
Yeah, it's a family thing. We have some relatives that have been involved. From a young kid, I always thought it was fascinating to watch the racing. It's been typically dirt track racing here locally in Bemidji. Some my uncle Larry, cousins that have all been involved mainly, and just been super fascinated by it. Always kind of wished I could get involved in some way, shape, or form. And when we had the COVID pandemic kind of come along and everything was slowed, and the sports and all the personal events with the children slowed down, we and my wife and kids kind of looked at each other like, what are we gonna do? Initially, it started with one of my sons having the idea. Maybe we'll get involved with the racing for him. And then he he thought, well, Dad, if I'm going to do it, you should do it. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, maybe my wife Lucy'd be interested. And then my daughter got involved. And so it's really at an amateur level, but it allowed us to get outdoors and do something together. And we're really having a blast. A absolute blast doing it, and we're all learning something about automotives, I guess, as well. You know, it's really cool.
So, what kind of cars are these? I mean, how many do you have?
Well, currently we have 4 cars, and we're involved in the Wasota Association of Racing. It's kind of a tri-state area, mm-hmm. maybe Wisconsin, maybe there's four states involved here with Wasota. We're involved. My son are in the Midwest Modified class, and my daughter and wife are in the Hornet class. And I got one more daughter who's itching to get involved. She's 12 right now, and she could actually go, but we're stepping in slowly here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yep. It's we mainly race locally here out of Bemidji, but occasionally we do move around a bit, and we'll load up the camper and tow our cars to Grand Forks, North Dakota, to Greenbush, Minnesota, to Grand Rapids, Minnesota. We're looking at potentially in the winter when going down to Phoenix, Arizona. There's races in Kansas City for different associations there in the winter time. And we're absolutely having a blast. It's a great family environment, similar to the horizontal drilling, I guess. Once you get involved in an association like that, if you have something, if you're, you know, working on the, in the pits, I guess, you think of them as this kind of dirty area, yeah. You know, but it's really quite an amazing family environment. We're just having a blast.
I mean, that's what I found interesting is your whole family's involved. It's not just you racing cars, like your wife is racing cars, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, and she's changing the oil, changing the tires, checking their air filter and doing all the stuff to her car. And while I'm gone working during the week, I'm traveling a lot again, thank God. I'll get home Thursday and they'll be all cars will be a lot of them be ready to go. We'll help touch up my car, load it in the trailer and hit the road for the weekend.
Oh my God.
We're literally camping for the weekend and racing cars.
I mean, this may sound, I don't know anything about this industry at all, with the cars. Yeah. What kind of cars are they? Are they like the kind you see on NASCAR, those kind, or are they smaller?
They're a little smaller. The small class, the Hornet class that my wife and daughter are involved, they actually are racing Chevy Cavaliers.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah,
they're pretty stock type of, you know, they're gutted out and they have a roll cage put in and all the glass and everything's removed, but it's a pretty well stock type of a car. The Midwest mods are that we're involved in are not so stock. They're a modified stock car, so they look a little different. But basically, they have a 350, for instance, Chevy engine, but little bit pepped up with a modified body. The body's actually all removed on those. We just have the original chassis, the front clip, and everything's kind of the structure's all kind of welded to it, but. That's real fun to race. It's a real amateur class to kind of race in before the next step of kind of moving into like the sprint cars or some of the faster cars that you see on TV.
Well, gotta start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It's good to see that the Cavalier has a life after.
It does. And my wife
after being discontinued.
Yeah, I think she's second in points in Bemidji.
Wow.
For her class, so she's doing super well.
Really well. That's awesome.
And my son, I think, is in third for the Midwest Mods out of Bemidji, so they're doing really well. They're beating me. That he beat his dad his very first race in this class. So
how old is he?
He's 16. And my daughter races, she's 15.
Wow. I was gonna ask what the impact has been. This has been on your family, but it sounds awesome. I mean, something that you said you do together, they're learning different things. I mean,
they are. So my daughter, 15 now, she just got her permit, but she's been racing for an entire summer. So she said, oh, that driving's a breeze. The permit was nothing. I know
so
everything.
Cool. Yeah. That wraps up this episode of the Trenches Technology Podcast. My thanks to Jason LaValle for joining me today. To learn more about LaValle Industries, check out the August issue of the magazine, which can be found in your mailbox, inbox, or online at trenchlesstechnology.com.
This has been a Trenchless Technology Podcast. To hear more of my conversations about the trenchless industry, go to trenchlesstechnology.com/podcast.